Now today we're going to look at the book of Joel, the entire book of Joel, chapter 2, break into three sections. Now what's the condition of our heart in these 40 days of prayer and fasting? And what moves you and moves me during this fasting season? Right? These are questions that you can answer only in the presence of God. Two questions I want you to brutally come before the Lord and ask, what has the fasting done to my spirit and my heart? What is the condition of my heart? And what really moves me during these 40 days prayer and fast? Do not be so overwhelmed and focused on your food, what you can eat and what you can't eat, that you miss out on the point of fasting, which we've been talking about in the past previous weeks, showing you what Old Testament says and what New Testament says. And today, the book of Joel that I will be sharing. Now, the book of Joel is only very short, 3 chapters, correct? Only 3. And it draws out the personal intimacy of each child of God towards our Father, and also a corporate return to God Almighty. And the book of Joel links up the Old Testament to the New Testament. It opens up with this great deep intensity of God's passion for His children to return to Him. Now Joel lives in the time of the prophet Jeremiah. So Joel only wrote, this is only 3 chapters, so he's called a minor prophet. And this book amplifies God's justice. When there is sin in our lives, in the nation, and we're talking about the nation in particular in this season, when there is sin, God being the just God, sin will always lead to judgment. But you say, Jesus died on the cross for us, once and for all, yes. But God, while He's just and merciful, He does not bypass all our wrongdoings. He said, yes, I forgive you, but that's provided we come back, we return to Him in repentance. And that's what we are doing in the 40 days, coming before God and asking ourselves and calling the Church of Malaysia to return to the God Almighty, to repent on behalf of the sins of our land. To repent of, on behalf of all that has happened in our land. The doings that are wrong in the sight of God by our forefathers and also by our current people, including ourselves. We will lie to ourselves and say that we have not sinned against God. But in the book of Joel, it tells us that when people repent, God restores. As always. So the sin, there's two things we have to remember, that sins will be judged. But when we repent of the sins, we will be restored. Lives will be restored, the land will be restored. So there's 3 sections that we want to look at, and the first one is from verses 1 to 11, we want to read, there is an urgent plea. There is an urgent plea. Let's look at chapter 2. Now here, verse 1 begins with, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm. Right? And when you go to the second time, it says, would be in verse 15. It says again, blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast. Call a secret assembly. So here there is an urgent trumpet call to all of us from the holy hill. He says, let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. Let all who live. Do you live in the land? You live in the land. If God is sounding the trumpet, Malaysia, arise to seek and repent. We have better obey to arise and seek and repent. For the nations around the world are praying for Malaysia day and night I just watched a video, a church in Israel praying and prophesying over Malaysia just a couple of weeks ago when we entered into 40 days fast. And here we are. We are still slumbering. 6 a.m. we cannot get up and pray. Other nations are praying for Malaysia. Now people, we need to wake up, because here it says blow the trumpet. Has the trumpet been blown? Yes, it is. Has the sound of alarm been gone? Yes, it is. Do we hear it? I'm sure we do. If we are not, then we are spiritually deaf. If we are spiritually deaf, we better ask God to open our ears. And if we hear, we must obey. And from verses 1 to 11, it does sound like, wow, everything is just so gloomy, right? If you read through, it says, it is close at hand, a day of darkness and gloom. Everything is painted with dark, gloomy colors and bleak outcome. And then there is a devouring plague that come against the people, because there was an army of locusts sent. And a lot of times judgment and catastrophe come because God allows it, because the people of God has been disobedient. But I'd like to just highlight verse 8. Now verse 8, I studied that verse the entire day during my personal retreat. It's very interesting that I never look at it that way. Verse 8 says, they do not jostle each other. Each marches straight ahead. They plunge through defenses without breaking ranks. This is referring to all this plague that's coming against the city. They do not jostle each other. Each marches straight ahead. They plunge through defenses without breaking ranks. They do not jostle each other. Meaning to say that all these events line up all the circumstances in life and in our nation. It is not a coincidence. Everything do not jostle. It is lining up in a straight line. They do not bank. They do not break ranks. Because there is always a sustenance of what God is doing or what God is allowing to happen. And this lineup of events is always for a cause. So don't look at all this bleakness and gloom and blackness and darkness around. And all we do is come before God and fret. There are greater things ahead if we only hear the alarm that's been sounded. And then we will go on to see what God says later on. And so I want to ask that we will arise to the urgent plea, that we will respond to the urgent plea in verses 1 to 11. Because it says here that before the earth shakes, verse 10, the sky trembles, the sun and moon are darkened, and stars no longer shine. Doesn't that look bleak and sound terrible? That one day you wake up and everything is just dark. The Lord thunders at the head of his army. His forces are beyond number, and mighty are those who obey his command. What does it say? His forces are beyond number, and mighty are those who obey his command. So if you and I obey God's command, the strength of the Lord will be in us, with us. The day of the Lord is great. It is dreadful. Who can endure it? We do not obey God. If we do not respond in obedience and radical faith, God says we will face the judgment. And if we are people of the land, as Joel says, then we better hear the trumpet call. We better arise and say, God, here I am. Here I am. Who can endure it? So there is an urgent plea. There's a trumpet call. People of the Lord must arise all over the world, not only Malaysia, in Hong Kong, in Indonesia, in Australia. We were just looking at one advertisement, an Australian advertisement that my kid showed me, very creatively done. But it just speaks of a godless nation. It just promotes a godless nation. A very interesting advertisement. They were just selling Aussie beef, lamb, Aussie lamb. And Jesus is seated among all other gods in this long table. And one lady says, I prefer no religion. And what do we unite over this table? Is the lamb, that Australian lamb. Go and watch the advertisement. So if we are hearing the call, then we have to arise. We have to arise to say, God, I heard that call and I will be found at the return together with the body of Christ to seek your face. Now, I actually want the worship team to come now, but maybe we'll just hold on there. We won't go into worship because of time. But secondly, let's look at the subsequent verses, which is the highlight of today's message. There's verses 12 all the way to verse 17. That would be the unreserved prayers. Unreserved prayers. I'm going to read. I want you to focus while you listen to my voice. And I ask that as I read, that the voice of the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Even now, declares the Lord. Return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow your trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, consecrate the assembly, bring together the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priest who minister before the Lord weep between the temple porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the people, where is their God? Verse 12. God declares, return to me with all your heart. Return to me with all your heart. With three things. Fasting, weeping, mourning. And that is coming before God with humility. What is fasting? To humble ourselves. Fasting is to humble ourselves before God. And so here God says, come back to me. Come home to me. Cry out to me. Take all these other things that distract you from the time that you would come to me. Now we Penang people, we love food, right? We just love food. Any time of the day you give us food, we eat. I think Medan people, sama juga kan? Right? Because Medan and Penang, they are called the sister cities. Yeah. So we share a lot of similarities, even in Hokkien. Right? We can understand each other's Hokkien. So it's a return. And why fasting is so important? Because when we come before God, it's not like, oh, I deprive myself from all these preferences. But it's taking the time to humble ourselves to say, God, I need you more than all these things, including my food. So if you only love meat and God take away your meat, you can still survive your daily work because you're still feeding yourself with other forms of food. Only your preferences are taken away. But if you go to the extreme of doing a water fast, then you, for 40 days, you're just depending on the minimum hydration for your body to go on functioning. But it's a spiritual act. And even my Buddhist friend could understand that. I was seated beside my Buddhist friend yesterday, and then we went a little bit more into fasting, and she asked, how do you survive? And I said, it's a spiritual act. I say, by my own strength, I won't be able to if I go into a water fast. But it's because God is in me, then it sustained me. And she agreed. She said, yes. So if a Buddhist can understand what fasting is, if the church cannot, I don't know what to do, you know? You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, yeah, sister, you understand what fasting. She said, yes, God must be in it. Of course, her God and my God is different. And this is a friend, when we were in our 20s in the campus, she used to say, Maybe your God and my God, my Buddha and your Jesus. Maybe they are in heaven, you know. They're good friends. They're talking to each other now. So that's where we are all these years. So return with fasting, weeping, mourning. Why weeping and why mourning? You say, oh, Jesus has done it on the cross. We already have our victory. Why are we mourning? Because verse 13 says, rend your heart and not your garments. What is rend your heart? Rend your heart. The word rend means rip it apart, means rupture, means pecah, means bocor. Understand? Means you tear it, you split it. There's such an emotional pain that will prick you when your heart is ruptured with the things of God. Are you with me? That is what fasting do to us, and not your garments. And why do the writer here says not your garments? Because renting your garment, tearing your garment is an image in the olden times that when you're sorrowful, when someone died, what do? When in deep sorrow, you just tear your garment apart. Ah! You know? You just give it all out. But now, God is saying, return to me with fasting, weeping, mourning, but I want you to rupture your heart. I want you to just pierce through with such emotional pain that I'm feeling, so that you can come with tears and pleading for your nation and your people. And that's the book of Joel. They fast for their nation. They're not fasting for their own selves. They're coming together. It's a sacred, holy fast as a company of God's body. It's not a personal fast. Joel is a corporate fast. Why fast? Why can't we pray without fasting? Can we travail in tears without fasting? When the Holy Spirit move into our heart, we can. But something about fasting that does in our spirit that we have undermined. And I'd like to read to you this author called Mark Batterson. And the title of his, he wrote a book called Draw the Circle. Have you read? Draw the Circle. So this is just an excerpt from his book, Draw the Circle. He entitled this portion, An Empty Stomach. So even though you are doing fluid fast, water fast, Daniel fast, vegan, vegetarian, our stomach is still not empty, you know, right? But this one, he's talking about an absolute fast, the empty fast, but you can apply it. He says, I'm more and more convinced that the answer to every prayer is more of the Holy Spirit. Need more power? Then you need more of the Holy Spirit. Need more wisdom? Then you need more of the Holy Spirit. Need more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, or self-control? Then you need more of the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but, listen to this, but we have to empty ourselves first. And one of the best ways to empty ourselves is through fasting. One of the ways to empty ourselves is through fasting. Why? He says, when I have a big decision to make, I circle it with a fast. It doesn't only purge my body, it purges my mind and spirit as well. It also purges my motives. So why are you fasting? When I need a breakthrough, I circle it with a fast. It doesn't just break down the challenges I'm facing, it also breaks down the calluses in my heart. An empty stomach may be the most powerful prayer posture in scripture. It's even more powerful than kneeling. It shows God that we mean business. And when we fast, God makes our business His business. Maybe there's something you've been praying for that you need to start fasting for. You need to take it to the next level. Draw a double circle by fasting for a friend or family. During our 40-day prayer challenge, small groups turn into prayer circles by fasting for friends who are battling with cancer and jobs and fighting to save marriages, and the answer was absolutely amazing. If you double circle things with prayer and fasting, don't be surprised if you receive a double blessing. If you want to break the sin habit, you got to establish a prayer habit. Draw your circle with a fast. I believe with all my heart that the Oikos who came for a long, long time in youth celebration, we have not seen new people. Yep. Yesterday, you have like about 10 Oikos, new people in your youth group. You've been asking, inviting, nothing happens. But I believe because God honors your prayer and fasting this season. And I want to encourage you, youth leaders and youth alike, that you will press in even these 40 days to ask for more. And if the Lord would challenge you not to stop at the 40 days and continue your fast, go on. Go on. Because if you're doing, as long as you're not doing water fast, you can still go on. Are you with me? As long as you're not doing water fast, you can go on. If you're doing absolute fast, no food, no drink, 3 days. You can still go on. If you're seasoned faster, you can go 4 or 5 days. You are okay. You won't die. But that's only provided you are already trained to do that. If not, 3 days max, you will not go into, so that you won't go into starvation. But if you're doing water fast, 40 days so that you won't go into dehydration. But none of you are doing water fast as far as I know. Alright? So if the Lord will challenge you to push further for your personal breakthrough, for your family breakthrough, for your ministry breakthrough, please, by all means, extend that fast. There was one lady that I read about. She survived the entire year. And I say entire year. And I'm sure she's more beautiful than ever. She survived the entire year with fruit juices. You be beautiful, you be slim. But do it the right way. Because you need to know what fruit to blend to put in. Some of you, scare me, okay? And some of you doing fluid fast, you take coffee, you take tea, there's no nutrient in it. And you actually torture your stomach. Okay? You get that pulp, but you torture your stomach. There is one old, old uncle who survived until past 100 over years. A Singaporean, I listened on radio. He did not say if he's a Christian or Buddhist or whatever, but a Chinese old uncle who is 100 over years old. And the interviewer asked, what is the secret of your long life, uncle? He says, I only drink water and nothing else. I only eat vegetables and nothing else. So all my life, I live on water and vegetables. That is the secret to my long life. Hallelujah. Can I hear amen? You don't believe me, is it? Look around. Don't you think some of you have become more handsome, radiant, slimmer, fitter? You answer, huh? No? I personally think Andrew has become more handsome. I'm not 20 years old, so it's okay. When I say more handsome, it's the countenance of the Lord. It's the countenance of the Lord. It's okay, lose some muscle, lose some pride, you know. It's alright. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate. Slow to anger, abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing and grain offering, drink offerings for the Lord your God. It says, blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly. Are we an assembly? Are we sacred? Yes. And God declares a holy fast in this place. Verse 16 says, gather the people. Consecrate the assembly. You see, when it says consecrate the assembly, it's no longer a personal set apart anymore. It is a corporate holiness. That means one person sin, everybody is going to be affected. Are you with me? So don't just say, miss one person at prayer, it's okay lah. It's not okay. Because we're talking about the unity. But I know some of you have logistic problems. I totally understand. So hear me out again. I'm not targeting on specific personal people that you didn't come for prayer. You didn't come for prayer, you know. I know some of you, like Joy stays in the mainland. I seriously do not expect you to come with the short time because it's jam time when you go back for work. No. So the pastors and the leaders, we're not unreasonable people. But I know some of you stay around my house only. Walk pun sampai already. Can't even use that to jog. So don't tell me I don't have time to work out. Just jog to my house. Done. After prayer, jog back. Done. Fitness, checked off. Faith, checked off. Right? It says here that we are together. Who? Who are supposed to be found together in this sacred assembly? We are together, the elders, the children, those nursing at the breast, so Ezra is not excluded. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. What is it saying here in verse 16? The writer spells it out for us that in this corporate set apart holiness assembly, there is no age barrier and there is no circumstantial references. Meaning to say you're old, you're young, you're baby, you are to be found in the sacred fast assembly. We are to come and seek the Lord and pray to Him and weep and mourn and cry out on behalf of our people, our land, our nation. There is no age barrier. And even here it says that even you just get married, even if you have just gotten married, even if you are a bridegroom, you have to leave the room. Even if you are a bride, you have to leave the chamber and come. So it is a very strong exhortation here to tell us no one, God declares no one is to be excluded in the sacred fast. Let the priest who minister before the Lord weep between the temple porch and the altar. And let them say, spare your people, O Lord. Weep between the temple porch and the altar. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Don't let our enemies tell us, hey, why should they say among the people, where is your God? Where is your God? Where is your God? I'm sure God says, here I am. I should ask, where are you when it's time to seek my face? So where is your God? Where is my God? We know that in 1 Chronicles chapter 7 says that if we were called by his name, we'll humble. Humble means fast. We'll humble ourselves and pray, fast and pray, and seek his face, and repent, and turn from your wicked ways, then God will hear, and he will forgive, and he will heal the land. Do you think God is joking? Do you not think God takes it seriously when he says that? Do you think not God's promise is always a promise? It is we. Are we serious with God? And just like Mark Batterson says, when you empty your stomach, you are telling God, I mean business, God. I mean business. And when you mean business, when I mean business, God cannot help but to come. God cannot help but to give. God cannot help but to bless. God cannot help but deliver. God cannot help but to save. And we will look at that in the next portion. We'll look at that in the next portion. I want us to hear the heartbeat of God when he says, blow the trumpet, declare a fast, gather your people and come back to that sacred assembly. We are telling God as a church of Penang, as a church of Malaysia, as a church here in Gateway City, we mean business. God, we need you like never before. We need you. And what would God do? What would God do? What do you think God would do? I think the worship team is very happy. You don't have to come up because of time. Thank you, Jesus. I really thought that today I'm just going to let them worship and sing, and then I'm just going to come up and let's pray for Malaysia. But God has so much to sing. Huh. The third one, I want us to see the third point, that when we obey the urgent plea from the Lord Almighty to return, number two, and coming with him with this unreserved prayer, passionately, unstoppable, relentless in our plea, what would God do? There will be an unprecedented progression of God's intervention. Verses 18 to 32. And when I say unprecedented, it's not me, it's God. It means that it is unequal. It means it is unrivaled. It means it's unmatched. You cannot match what God is going to give when he responds to us. Now, God can do an instant miracle. Can he? Can he not? The Bible says that Jesus turned water into wine. When you see the Aussie ad, should I even break the... There's this reversed miracle. He turned the wine into water. So God can do such thing? Can. God can snap his finger, everything come to be. God can do instant thing. But most of the time, it doesn't hashtag bam. It doesn't. Most of the time, it's a progressive, gradual intervention because it's all about the timing of God. Not your timing, not my timing, but it's the timing of God. And suddenly we look back and say, whoa, how did this happen? It is God. Why did this happen? It is God. So even though it's not instant, God promised that there will be a gradual progression of the intervention in his time. And God's time is always perfect. God's time is always perfect. Look at verses 18, and that would be God's response to what people would respond to him. He says here, then the Lord will be jealous for his land and take pity on his people. The Lord will reply to them, I'm sending you grain, new wine, and oil. Now, these three things we read in the Bible all the time. Grain, new wine, oil. What does grain tells us? Grain is our provision. It's the basic needs. New wine, that's a little bit of luxury, right? You don't drink wine every week, right? You drink wine in your CG? You better. It's a good act of worship. In the boiler team for the past 4 years, we drink wine. We have the Lord's Supper at 12 midnight every Friday. And we're just discussing that act. Now that we look back, we never thought of it. But now that we look back, we say, whoa, that is powerful. Because the Lord's Supper at 12 midnight every Friday night binds the team together. Would you agree? So drink wine and have Lord's Supper every CG. Oil. Oil speaks of anointing. Oil speaks of anointing. So three things God promised that will send us. Grain, our provision. New wine. That's luxury. And oil, that's the anointing. Because without anointing of God, nothing happens. Are you with me? And the anointing speaks of the presence of God. And without the presence of God, everything is dry. Everything is dry when God doesn't come and anoint us with oil. He says, enough to satisfy you fully. Please read again. He says, grain, new wine, and oil, enough to satisfy you fully. There is no soba, there's no siotu, there's no char siu, there's no chicken rice. He says, grain, new wine, and oil to satisfy you fully, and there won't be aches. And today, I read Thursday's newspaper and say there's a hike in price for eggs. So I was telling my girls and my boy, should we take eggs out of our diet now because there's a hike of price? But the good news is, it's 2 cents per egg. So, not a drastic hike, but it says that in the last days that we will trade our gold for rice. So, we were talking about how much we love egg this morning and how we're so thankful that we look at eggs, we smell eggs, and we're good. So we say it's good. God, train us more to come to that satisfaction. I'll say only in you is enough. And he says, never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations. And God says what? You see, we got to do first, and that's why there's a progression, and I use the word progression and not instant, because we look at the first section, there's an urgent plea, correct? And after that, we have this unreserved prayer that we have to press into prayer and fasting, weeping and mourning and putting on the sackcloth. And then, verse 18 starts with, then. That is a connecting word. Now, when we put the word then, it tells us that before this could happen, you got to be doing that. Are you with me? You cannot, in English, put a then when there is nothing before it. Are you with me? So there must be something that has to be done before then. You can put the word then there and this will happen. And so that's why God's work is a progressive intervention. You do this. God says, then I will do this. And God declares that he is a jealous God. That means that his passion burns for his land and his people. He will be unstoppable until his people come back to him. And he wants us to feel that burning passion for the Lord. For his people. And he says again, I am sending. And verse 20, he says, I will drive. And then you go on to verse 23. He says, he has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. He sent you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains. You see, rain signify his presence. Rain signify the outpouring of God's spirit. Rain signify blessing. And rain signify prosperity. And so when he says that I will send you autumn and spring rain, again he's telling you it's not just a one-time thing. His blessings comes in seasons. Remember Hosea chapter 6 verse 3 says, let us acknowledge God. Let us press in. That is what prayer and fasting does. We have to press in to acknowledge that he is Lord. And then God says that as surely as the sun rises, I will appear. And I will bring you the autumn rain and I will bring you the latter rain. Because in those times, in the Bible times, the autumn rain and the spring rain has different function. Because you need rain when they are germinating. You need rain again when they are sprouting. So God's blessing comes in seasons. It's not just one time bang, that's it. But God said, I will send, I will drive out these people and this army. I will give you the autumn rain. I will give you also the spring rain. Verse 25, he says, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. So chapter 1 talks about the army of locusts invading the land. But God says in chapter 2, if you come back to me, I will repay you. Now take seriously the word of God here. This is one of those verses I hang on to. It's very precious to me because when the enemy attacks my mind and say, hopeless your situation, and I will bring out this verse and say, my God says that he will repay me for the years the locusts have eaten. Whatever the locusts have eaten in my life, whatever the locusts have eaten in your life, is it finance? Is it your fitness? Is it your health? Is it family relationship? Is it friendship? Is it your job? Is it your promotion? Or whatever that's attacking my land, my God says that he will repay for the years the locusts have invaded and eaten. Not just that, the great locusts and the young locusts, the other locusts and the locust swarm. Means all the locusts. All. God says, my great army that I sent among you, you will have plenty to eat until you are full. And you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. You see the progression of God's intervention? It's one after another. It's bam, 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 bam. It's not boom. Bam, shaka. That's all. He says here, never again, his promise, will my people be shamed. Then, again he says, then you will know that I am in Israel, and God says he's also in Malaysia, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? And verse 28 says, and afterward. So after the then, I will. Samo, ada lagi. Verse 26, and afterward. You see that long progression of the endless blessing that God will give us. He says, and afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. How cool, right? I dream dreams a lot. I'm an old woman. In my prayer today, as I was given that short time, because I said, my flight's delayed, he told the management, one of you have to preach. And I says, the Bible says we should be ready in and out of season, right? Very gung-ho, right? After that, I say, God, now what? And I was preparing my spirit and my mind for the Lord to move through in me. I was telling that how I wish this is the up level that I'm asking from God. I'll just see my points, the sermon guideline, all in a vision. Ta-da! Then I can chang, I can come ready. You know what I mean? Up level. I mean, God has taken me through many seasons of preparation, and this is one of those times that you got to trust me. Okay? And so I say, God, up level. Next time when I have to trust you, I walk in and then the sermon appears in a vision. Can it happen? Sure, can happen. I'm believing it. Oh, my husband loved to hear this. So he wouldn't have to preach. And so he says, afterwards I will do all this for you. 29 says, not just old men, young men, daughters and sons. He says, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will turn on to darkness and the moon to blood. That is talking about the end times before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, the Pentecostal anointing that's prophesied in the book of Joel here is also experienced in Antioch church. If you refer to Acts, chapter 2, verse 14 to 21, it talks about the same words here, that I will pour out my spirit on all people, sons and daughters will prophesy. You see, when we come before God and press in to seek his face in prayer and enjoy his presence and receive new grain, new oil and new wine, what happens? Sons and daughters, are you sons and daughters? You will prophesy. And the gift of prophecy is very powerful. Desire it and ask for it. Some of us are prophets who stand here to prophesy, but some of us are not. But God gave us the word of knowledge. And the word of knowledge so that in our daily going out with people, friends, colleagues, family, or vendors, we can stand and say, this is what God is saying to you. That is the word of knowledge. And we need the spirit of wisdom. When God gives us the word of knowledge, is it the right time to release the word? Sometimes the word of knowledge is so that we can pray and intercede for the person without telling her. But sometimes God moves and says, do it now. And that is wisdom. So when we ask for the spirit of the word of knowledge, ask also for wisdom. And that's powerful because people will say, how do you know? And you can evangelize. Today's prayer pointers for 40 days prayer and fasting is on evangelism. And this is the next level I'm asking God. That when God gives me a word, I would be daring enough to move and speak. Sometimes when I buy things from the vendors, I would do that when the Lord moved. But there is one thing, confession. I have not come to that level of courage is God has given me words in cafes like Coffee Bean and Starbucks for a woman or a group sitting next to me. And I'm like, God, if I walk over and release that word, people's going to look at me like, are you loony? You know what I mean? Even if it's true, they are not going, if it's a strong, even if it's true, the stranger's not going to say, yes, that's an accurate word. You know what I mean? They'll probably go back and say, oh my goodness, who is this lady? How come she knows my life, you know? But they're probably going to just look at me like, you okay? So I have not come to the point of that radical courage, but I'm praying that I would. You know, I'm sitting there sometimes, I'm like, what do I do now? Prayer? So I sit there and I turn my cafe time into prayer moments. So thank God everywhere we go and ask Him for that. And He says that not only you, but the young ones too, the old ones too, the servants too. And then He goes on in verse 32 and says, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's so powerful. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Now God's deliverance, God's salvation, is not reserved for a specific group of people. It says in verse 32, all, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And this is my prayer, that all Malaysians will call upon the name of the Lord. Will it come with ease? No. It comes with a lot of hard work. When people of God arise to obey the trumpet call, it's not only for Malaysia, it's for people in Hong Kong, the people in Indonesia. And I love Indonesian worship. They are powerful, right? People of God, my church family, would we hear the trumpet call? Will we respond to the urgent plea? The worship team can come up. Will we press in with unreserved prayer? What has fasting has done to the condition of our hearts this season? What moved us this season? And do you and I believe in God's unprecedented intervention? Though it's progressive, though it's gradual. And I want to read verses 12 to 17 in Al-Kitab. Do we have? And after this, we're just going to move in to praying for the nation. Okay. Let's read together. Tetapi sekarang juga, demikianlah firman Tuhan. Berbaliklah kepadaku dengan segenap hatimu, dengan berpuasa, dengan menangis, dan dengan mengadu. Koyakkanlah hatimu dan jangan pakaianmu, berbaliklah kepada Tuhan, Allahmu, sebab Ia pengasih dan penyayang, panjang sabar dan berlimpah kasih setia, dan Ia mengesal kerana hukuman-Nya. Siapa tahu mungkin Ia mau berbalik dan menyesal, dan ditinggalkan-Nya berkat, menjadi korban sajian dan korban curahan bagi Tuhan Allahmu. Tiuplah sangkakala di Sion, adakanlah puasa yang kudus, maklumkanlah pengkumpulan raya. Kumpulkanlah bangsa ini, kuduskanlah jemaah, himpunlah orang-orang yang tua, kumpulkanlah anak-anak, bahkan anak-anak yang menyusu. Baiklah pengantin laki-laki keluar dari kamarnya dan pengantin perempuan dari kamar tidurnya. Baiklah para imam, pelayan-layan Tuhan, menangis di antara balai depan dan mezbah dan berkata, sayangilah ya Tuhan umat-Mu dan janganlah biarkan milik-Mu sendiri menjadi celah, sehingga bangsa-bangsa menyindir kepada mereka. Mengapa orang berkata di antara bangsa, di mana Allah mereka? Oh Tuhan yang Maha Kuasa, kami berdiri dan menyembah-Mu, oh Tuhan. Let's rise. Tuhan yang berkuasa, berkatilah kami di Malaysia, di Indonesia, di negara-negara di sekeliling. Biarlah firman-Mu hidup di dalam hidup kami, oh Tuhan. Hora basyadari yang daramah yang dasi. Kerana salib-Mu, kami sudah menang. Kerana salib-Mu, kami berdiri di sini. Kerana salib-Mu, kami berdiri di sini menyembah-Mu, Tuhan Yesus. Would you rend your heart? Would you rend your heart today, people? Oh, we need you, God. We love you, God. Forgive us, oh God. For we have slack. For we are sluggish. Holy fire, burn in us again. Restore the worship of the house, oh God. Restore the worship of the house.